This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 587. Yo soy Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my intrepid and Lily Pulitzer wearing co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hey, hello. Bonjour.
Bonjour. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. During COVID-19, we are homegrown and home recorded. Remember, I don't know what else. Just stick around.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. On the show today, we have the UT Department of Theater and Dance and their production of La Ruta. And later on, we'll be talking to our friends at Penfold Theater and their show, The Control Group, A Mission in Time. And remember, folks, it's all about science. We'll see you after the song. Okay. It's all about science. It's a COVID-19 related song.
Well, you know, if you're into theater, you do theater, you excel in math and science. So to me, it all makes sense.
There you go. That's why it's called STEAM and not STEM.
There you go.
That was from a show called Me and Miss Monroe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did you see that Little Shop was done somewhere?
Well, I remember when they were going to do it, because you and I were perplexed. How is the plant COVID safe crawling around? But I mean, I guess if you're the only one in the plant, you can sanitize it. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't actually read it, but I'm going to try to find it in. I'm going to try to find it right now in the. I can't find it. Never mind. I thought I had it in New York Times. There's a New York Times article. I did not read it, but it was something about Little Shop.
Yeah, because it was the two scenes we were perplexed by, the dentist and the being eaten by the plant.
True.
Don't feed the plant.
Don't feed the plant. No, don't feed the plant. I don't know if you know this or not, but Ben Brantley has left the New York Times.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I know, you know, we talked about it here. There were two articles in the New York Times in relation to that. One was his exit interview, which I found less interesting, but I do have it here. There was also an article that he wrote called Why I'll Never Stop Being a Theater Critic.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just want to read this paragraph. Mm-hmm. Allow me to make a quote. Allow me to make a confession here. I do not like going to the theater. Okay, I had to stop right at that point and go, huh? But let me continue. Continuing. I love being at the theater. I love writing about the theater. But what happens before and after and in between? The schmoozing, the mingling, the dining, the waiting in the rain for taxis hasn't given me a thrill in decades. People who regularly accompany me to plays have often heard me mutter in claustrophobically crowded theater lobby, I don't know why I'm still doing this. I have to say I don't agree with him. I kind of like all that stuff.
No, I totally agree with them. I was like, oh my God, that same little old lady that's inside me is inside him, and I get it.
Yeah.
I just want to get there and teleport and be in there and hear the swell of the orchestra and like experience everything. I don't mind the afterwards and the talking.
Oh, that's the part I don't like. After the show, I am out the door like a ice sled going home by myself.
Nope. See? I don't like all this stuff beforehand. I like everything afterwards.
This is where we differ. And one of the few places in which we differ. The Tonys were announced. Yeah. You know, people can't see the misbegotten shrug you just did.
It was a womp womp.
Well, it's an interesting year, needless to say. It was a abbreviated year. There were only four musicals in total. Only one of them had original music, and three of them were nominated. The three that are nominated were the ones without the original music, The Lightning Thief did not get good notices. There was nothing remarkable about it. It got snubbed in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, Tina Turner rocks. I haven't been to a musical and so enthralled and on my feet. And
yeah, you said you liked it. So to be clear, best musical nominations were Jagged Little Pill, Moulin Rouge the Musical, and Tina, the Tina Turner musical. What they said, interestingly enough, that the straight plays had a pretty big... there was like 12 or 13 of them. So it was like a normal size straight play. The the nominees were Grand Horizon, The Inheritance, Seawall of Life, Slave Play, and The Sound Inside. We discussed a second ago, and I think we talked about this earlier on the show, that, you know, with only one musical having original score, they opened it up to straight plays. And interestingly enough, the one musical is not nominated.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So it's Christopher Nightingale in A Christmas Carol, Paul Englishby for The Inheritance, Lindsay Jones for Slave Play, Daniel Kluger for The Sound Inside, and Jason Michael Webb and Fitz Patton for The Rose Tattoo. But there is an interesting issue around best leading actor in a musical. There is a one-person race. So the only person nominated is Aaron Tveit. So what's interesting about the Aaron Tveit, so he's the only one nominated. Do you think he'll win?
He's heavenly in my book on so many levels. I just love that guy.
He actually could lose under current circumstances. Did you know that?
I know he could, but he's just, in my book, he's everything.
Well, I was surprised to learn that he could lose, seeing how he's the only person nominated. But you still have to get 60% of the Tony voters to vote for you. So if they don't vote, then he doesn't win. Tony nominations. It's going to be a strange year. But that's it.
It already hasn't been a strange year.
It's going to continue to be a strange year. Oh, there's a little shop. I had it open on my whole thing. How one theater safely put it indoor. So I just want to say the name of the theater.
Where was it, Lisa?
It was in Whitfield, New Hampshire, because you can't get there from here at the Weathervane Theater.
Do you think they had a lobster roll before they went and saw the show? Because I would.
So, I saw this thing today called Shipwreck, which was a play done at the Woolly Mammoth in D.C. and in... California. I don't know.
Say Pennsylvania, but I don't think that's right either.
I'm going to come up with it because it's right here. I don't know. I'll find it anyway, but it's now a, radio play, and it's about, I'm going to play the trailer or a piece of the trailer for it right now so people can listen to it. Let's listen.
In the darkness, our worst fears materialize into fantastical illusions.
I enter the room. The president is seated at solo table with a white tablecloth. His face only half illuminated by the candelabra.
Mr. Comey, I'm going to call you James. Take a seat.
So that was from Shipwreck. So this is really top of my mind right now because I've been watching
all of our radio shows like that, please.
What?
Lisa. I said I want to do all of our radio shows like that.
Okay, well, we'll add a dripping sound effect behind us. But this is a story of... Basically, it's wrapped around the James Comey dinner with Donald Trump, in which Trump tried to get him to offer fealty, loyalty, and also to stop the investigation on General Flynn. And it's top of my mind because I literally just finished last night the Comey, I think it's called the Comey something or other on HBO.
Yeah.
So this is all very fresh on my mind. So now it's a podcast, and you can get it on Apple Podcasts, and I have subscribed to it, and I am going to listen to it.
Well, there you go.
But what's interesting, it has been updated since 2017, and the article is worth reading. And it talks about how she's made changes to it. And one of them, there was a African-American character that was played by Papa Pope in the reading.
Did they get rid of
at the Woolly Mammoth, I mean.
They got rid of Papa Pope for the...
They got rid of the black character because it was after George Floyd's death, it became... It didn't work anymore to have the black character in there. And this was... Then they changed it to, well, you know, basically white people talking about race, which is something that is a very interesting necessity amongst white people. So thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
So let's get to our first interview with the University of Texas Department of Theater and Dance and La Ruta. We talked to Anna Skittis Vargas, who I just really enjoyed that interview. Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. She had really good energy. Like you could feel it through the Zoom machine. It was kind of exciting.
She had very good GE, as we call it.
Yes.
So let's listen to that interview. Nicole, the Zoom machine had a week off, and it is just purring right now. Listen to it purr.
All pretty and ready to go.
Yeah, I just love how it's working, and we got it. We went through the Zoom machine wash with it, and it's all shiny. So
I know. I'm excited. Let's take it for a spin. It's all ready to run.
Yeah, let's figure out where we are by opening up the hatch door. We're at UT.
Hello.
We have Anna Skittis Vargas, who is the director of La Ruta by Isaac Gomez, that's going to be playing virtually through the University of Texas Department of Theater and Dance. Anna, welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Oh, thank you so much. So happy to be here.
We're glad you're here.
We're thrilled that you're here, and we've actually been very happy to have had UT Department of Theater and Dance on several times over the past few months during this pandemic, and we hope that to continue on when we're back in the studio live and in person, where we can
Absolutely.
Actually give hugs.
Yeah, yes. We are keeping busy, that's for sure.
I can give you a jazz hand.
So La Ruta is a show by Isaac Gomez. It was done at Steppenwolf, which I think is very, very exciting in Chicago. Both Nicole and I have roots in Chicago, so anything Chicago is good for us.
I did an internship at Steppenwolf, so I love that.
There you go. And the other day I was walking in the park and I stepped in Wolf.
Oh my.
All right.
Get out. No.
It doesn't always work. But La Ruta deals with a lot of the murders of women along the border in Ciudad Juarez. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, tell us about it. I mean, it sounds like, so right away I'm thinking, that's such a heavy subject.
Yeah, it is pretty heavy subject matter, but the good news is that the way that Isaac Gomez has written this play, it is so full of heart and joy and laughter. So I think you're sure to find things that you can hold on to and enjoy. To me, it's really a celebration of Mexican women, which I love and am.
So there you go.
There's that. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's sort of the non-spoilery synopsis is we sort of follow a few characters as they are navigating what their world looks like as it's been affected by the femicides in Ciudad Juarez. So we're following two mothers mostly, Marisela and Yolanda, who are missing their daughters and sort of the trials and tribulations therein, and a couple of the other women. It's really a play about Mexican women, just mothers, daughters, sisters, all of that. And it's beautiful, beautiful play.
How many people are in the piece?
We have 9 people in the play.
That's pretty sizable for a straight play.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Is it all women?
Yes, it is all Latinas. Rock on.
Excellent. And so it sounds like there's a narrative, and yet maybe there's a little bit more than a narrative. So is there a narrative arc that follows these women?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. Well, a lot of times shows don't have a narrative arc. They have just feelings.
It's true. And you sort of never know, too, when it's sort of based off of like documentary style interviews and,
correct,
and such. But there is a really gripping narrative, I would say.
Very good, because I am a fan of narrative. I'm just going to say that right off the bat.
I'm a fan of all kinds of weird theater. So.
Well, I know, and we're going to get to that in a second, because on your website and your bio, I just love the beginning of it. But we're going to talk about that in a second. I do want to read for my audience the quote that is at the very beginning at the actually, it's at the Steppenwolf. It was from Steppenwolf. I just like it. It says, "I am angry. I am heartbroken, but the heart of a woman beats furiously in a million directions at once, even when it's shattered into a million pieces."
Yes.
I just think that's awesome. Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
So gorgeous. Yes.
Now, is that a quote from the play?
No, it's a quote about the play, I believe.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Now, this is being done online. It's being done virtually. I lost the word virtual. Are you performing it live, or are you recording it?
We are performing it live, which is horrifying and amazing and so exciting. So we're getting ready to go in tech. We start tech on Wednesday. It is going to be live, and you're going to see a lot of like sort of, you're going to see all the same components that you would see in a live in-person play. So there's like scenic design, lighting design, we've got sound and costumes and media, all of that is going to be present.
So this is not a Zoom piece. This is, you will be, the performers will actually be on a stage together.
They will not. They are still performing remotely.
They're
going to be streaming through our sweet, sweet Vimeo account. Here at UT.
Well, great. So how, as a director, it's an interesting discipline that we're all learning about directing a theatrical piece for the screen and for remote screen.
So right, and it doesn't really work the way that film works. It works, there are certain things that you just kind of have to embrace in the medium where it's kind of like, okay, do it like you're talking to all of your Instagram followers. Okay, do it like this. Like, y'all have no idea how many like photo booth, like videos I have of me attempting choreography by myself in my office to see what does and doesn't work. It is so silly and it is so weird and fun and like, what a great experiment.
So now I know
that you're embracing it, because you just said that like really emphatically. So that's awesome.
I do. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. It's sort of like a weird way to round out my time here at UT, I think. But it's really enjoyable. And I think the other thing too, is that I have a team full of designers and actors and like production crew who are just so willing to play, which I like could not have asked for a better team. Honestly, it's such a joy and like what a gift.
Which is actually really important for any theatrical endeavor, actually, is that willingness to let go and play. I mean, there's a reason why we call it plays.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Now, is there music instituted in this?
Yeah, there is music. And we have a composer named Jesse Sanchez, who is just incredible. One of the characters, this Amaya, is a singer. So you'll hear a bit of singing and.
So you have some singing. That is excellent. I want to just take a quick detour and talk about you, if you don't mind.
Sure, sure.
You know, speaking of singing, you have a wide career of doing musicals.
musicals.
And such varied musicals, from In the Heights to Urinetown. It's quite amazing. I actually saw a video of you, I think from your website, singing a combination of Tonight and whatever that song is from Dear Evan Hansen, with a gentleman. Is it, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And currently,
I've been singing for a long time. Well, no, go ahead.
And awesomely, if I might say so myself. You are currently a PhD student at UT?
Oh no, nobody wants to give me that.
Master's.
I'm getting my MFA in directing. Hopefully.
Master's. Well, I thought I'd start up here.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Skittis still isn't too shabby. You know?
Yeah, Dr. Skittis sounds pretty good, but I don't know if I have the discipline to keep going after this.
Well, maybe instead of going for your doctorate, you'll just direct something on Broadway.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, that would be that great. Would be the way.
I can settle for that, I guess.
That would be the way to do it. So before here, you were in St. Louis?
Yes. Yeah. I'm from Southern Illinois, pretty near St. Louis, kind of closer to St. Louis.
You are what we call a downstater.
Yes. Yeah. So I think people think when you're from Illinois, they're like, oh, you're from near Chicago. And you're like, no, I'm a Cards fan. Sorry. St. Louis Blues all the way. I was just from across the river. So I was like 20, 30 minutes. And then I moved to St. Louis and started my, really started my theater career post-college in St. Louis and started.
And you run a theater, do you not?
Yeah, I have a theater company called Theater Nuevo in St. Louis. And it's sort of a scrappy, practically $0 theater company that does new works.
Well, I wish I didn't understand that, but I do.
Right.
And I'm also thrilled that you're doing that work because it's really, really important.
It is.
How is St. Louis as a theater town?
It's pretty interesting. There's a lot about it that I really, really love. It's a lot of scrappy theater companies, I think.
STCs, we call them.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of STCs there, and it's really great. Did you say STC?
I did.
Okay, great.
Scrappy theater companies.
Oh, nice. I always thought small theater company. That's what we called them in undergrad all the time. I like scrappy better. If I'm,
being I have honest. A I have a habit of making up initialisms as I go along.
Well,
that's great. And you're now at UT, and you're getting all your directing creds done, and we're thrilled that we're going to see La Ruta. Tell us when and how we might go about seeing the show.
Yeah, I would go to the University of Theater at Austin's. No, University of. Wow, you're right. Nobody can.
Yeah, see, I told you it's hard to say.
University of Texas at Austin's Theater and Dance Department's website, and you can find all of the info that you need there to join our Vimeo.
Right, and the show is October 23rd and 24th at 7:30 p.m.
Correct.
Well, we are super duper thrilled that you came on the show, and I'm really stoked to see the show.
Yeah, I was excited when I saw Lisa had this interview. I was like, oh, this is really cool.
I hope it is. Yeah, we're definitely trucking in that direction. So
I'm excellent.
Really, well, proud of what we've been doing.
Well, good. As well, you should be. Ana Skittis Vargas, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to hop back in the Zoom machine now. Bye. Well, that's La Ruta. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Indeed.
Well, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll have Act Two.
Okay.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and...
Nicole. Je m'appelle Nicole.
Je m'appelle Lisa. You know, my friend Mara Kiesling just says je m'appelle about everything.
Je m'appelle. I am. Yeah. My name is.
She doesn't really. She doesn't really translate it. It's just je m'appelle. She uses je m'appelle like I use hoji. Did you see David Byrne's Utopia? It's on HBO right now. Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not seen it yet. I was waiting for Lori to come over to watch it so we can have like a movie night.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, and I believe last season on Saturday Night Live, he performed one of the numbers on Saturday Night Live, a la Utopia.
Yeah, and if you went to ACL last year, you saw 45 minutes of this entire show a la Utopia.
What if I didn't go to ACL?
Then you missed it and you have to go to HBO or have seen it in New York.
That's true. So folks can watch that on H and the B and the O.
Yeah, it's on demand right now. So you don't have, you can just pull it up without having to wait for airtime.
That's true. But I tend to wait. And for some reason, there's a difference for me between watching things when they show it versus on demand. Who knows why? So in San Francisco, the mayor, London Breed, implemented a universal, oh my God, I lost the word, universal basic income for artists. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Well, it's $1,000 a month.
San Francisco?
Just San Francisco. But what I find interesting is it is, I guess it's a pilot program, but it is only for, hold on, I got to find the number, 130 artists. Now, yeah, that seems to be in San Francisco, that would be a drop in the artist bucket, wouldn't it? That's but still, it's a start.
A good idea. Yeah.
And universal basic income was a program that is made popular by Andrew Yang, who ran for president. But I didn't know this. You might have known this because you're smarter than me. That did you know that Alaska has that?
Yes and no, and it's not the same. And there's
not
lot
the
of
same.
It's not this. It's not a universal basic income.
Well, it is. Everybody gets it, but it's based on the income.
Not everybody gets it. You and I could move there, and not because we're Alaskan residents, we don't automatically get it.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, it's not the same thing. So it is. It is. But
well,
yes,
but it's based on the oil reserves that they have there, mm-hmm. evidently. But I think it's interesting and good for San Francisco to give this a shot. I only hope that they expand it to cover more than 130 artists.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to start somewhere, but yeah, no, Alaska. You can't just move to Alaska and start getting the fund.
There's well, I assumed that, but I think people who have probably a certain amount of residency, right?
There's more to it than that. I mean, we could live there 10 years and still not be eligible. So,
all right. Well, okay. Well, so here would be the Law and Order thing. Boom, boom.
Boom.
So SAG and AFTRA has taken their argument with Equity to arbitration to the AFL-CIO.
Yeah.
And the four A's. And you know what? I have to show my ignorance. I've always heard of the four A's forever. And I always thought the four A's stood for Actors Equity Association, AFTRA, AGVA, and for some reason SAG. I thought I couldn't figure out why SAG was in the four A's, but that's not what the four A's stands for.
What's it stand for?
I'm gonna have to look it up. It stands for I've got to find it. I didn't write it down, but I will find it before we're done here. It stands for Associated Actors and Artists of America, which I guess is part of the AFL-CIO. Makes a lot more sense than what I thought. So as you know, Equity and SAG and AFTRA are fighting over who can represent actors in streaming plays.
In this virtual world.
Equity is mad because A, it completely negates stage managers and they've lost that business. And B, they've negotiated lower salaries for the actors and the actors are doing it. And C, no pension welfare contributions. Mm-hmm. So they're going to arbitration.
I'm not surprised, though, to be honest with you.
The other little thing I just want to mention before we go and listen to our interview is that, and now I haven't confirmed this on my own Amazon Prime, but what the Constitution means to me is now available on Amazon Prime.
Sweet.
And I know at least 50% of us will be watching it tonight.
Probably will not be watching it tonight, but I will be watching it.
So that's Heidi Schreck's almost one-person show, What the Constitution Means to Me. And I am really, really, really excited about that.
Yeah, I was happy to find out that they were making this available.
And the final little piece of national information that I wanted to talk about is, now I'm not familiar with this rehearsal studio because I haven't been in New York in a long time, but RWS Entertainment Group started a Pay What You Can initiative for the rehearsal studios.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah, so through the end of the year, so actors, there's a 3-hour maximum, but they can come in and do whatever they want, pay whatever they want.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, great way to use a space sitting and
true.
A great way to help people. So,
absolutely. So locally, I want to point people's attention to Tilt Gratitunes. We did not have them on the show, and I kind of wish we had. But, you know, Tilt is doing lots of great things these days, and their current show, Gratitunes, is an online piece of original music. So it's an hour and a half with original songs by Tilt. It premiered on October 17th, but you can still see it, and there's a link in our page at offstageonair.com to see that. And I love the work that they do. And then as part of this, and I think it was in their last thing they did as well, but we've talked about it, was the music video they did for Pandora that was a professionally produced music video, which is really lovely.
I actually went to the final dress for the concert series at Zach.
Yes, you did.
I didn't realize how much I needed live music. I got in the car and I lost it. And I first of all, Joe Blackwood is Rainbows and Unicorns in Medicine. So just to hear it, but it wasn't even about the songs. It wasn't even about the artists. It was the whole, just what you feel in the room when you hear live entertainment.
It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. To remind folks, that's Zach Theater's song. Forgot the
song
name of the program.
Songs
Under the Stars. It's 4 weeks. We just had the first week, and you can get information at zachtheater.org. And they've been doing very good. I believe they extended, did they not?
So there were some added shows on Wednesdays and Sunday evenings because the other ones, people flocked to them. This week is 70s Female Rock Stars is this
right.
week.
Right. So you can check that out at Offstage. Well, there'll be a link at offstageonair.com, but you could also find it at zachtheater.org. Mm-hmm. What did you
and
want?
And then Jill's and Matthew's from this week is available starting to stream later this week. So.
Great. So as I said, you can get information at zachtheater.org. Well, our very good friends over at Penfold Theater are doing something new and different, which started last Monday. This is a project called The Control Group, A Mission in Time. And Nicole and I spoke to them just the other day, so let's take a moment and listen to that interview. Here it is. Well, I'm sitting out here outside the Zoom machine waiting for Nicole Shiro, who doesn't seem to be here. So I think that I'm just going to have to go in on my own, open the hatch and see where I am and take care of whatever happens on my own. So let me just squeeze in the door here. And again, the hatch is a little difficult to open these days. It's my friends at Penfold Theater. Hi, you guys.
Hey,
hello.
You've been trapped in here so long.
I know. I'm so sorry. But it's, you know, we just had it redone. So there should have been extra food items left. Let me introduce everybody. We have co-founder, co-artistic director, or I'm sure there's a different title that you have, Ryan Crowder. Hi, Ryan. I'm assuming you said hello, but I didn't hear anything. And we have Monica Ballard. Hi, Monica.
Hello.
Brett Weaver.
Hello.
And Jarrett King.
Hello, hello, hello. Howdy.
So coming all the way from the Windy City, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially.
So I am so excited to talk to you about this project, the Control Group, A Mission in Time. We've talked about this, and I talked about it on the show last week, how a lot of theater companies are finding very creative ways to make theater. And, you know, that's a qualified, I'm going to call it theater, but a lot of times it's something else. But it's an artistic venture in ways that we can do it during COVID. I mentioned, and I'll mention it again, that the Shrewds are doing a whole thing by letter called Letters from Camp Shrewd. And Penfold is doing a really fun thing with a different, from a different medium. So, Ryan, tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, so when COVID hit in the spring, we responded by doing a whole lot of online content, which was great, but for us, we really missed that live component, the kind of live interaction, the back and forth that happens between people in real time. And so we started looking for other forms that we could play with in this, you know, this quarantine type time, and we ran across this company up in Canada who's pioneering motive theater by telephone. We thought, oh, that was really cool. So Monica Ballard, who's here, our playwright, we bought a ticket, jumped on the phone, and went through the entire experience. It was a phone call a day for 5 days. So you sign up for a time like 5 o'clock, then you get a call every day at 5 o'clock from an actor who leads you through a story. Their version of this was totally improvised, and we had a great, great time. It was just awesome. And so afterwards, Monica and I started talking about if that was a form we could play with, could we kick it up a notch by maybe doing an actual script, introducing other elements. We called the theater company up in Canada, and they were very gracious, sharing their notes. And that was the impetus. So through the summer, Monica and I kind of worked on a story. She scripted it out. It involves, there's a piece by mail. There are live phone calls, obviously. And then there are also recorded segments that are interwoven in. So it's got a lot of different layers to it. And it's really fun.
Wow. So before I ask Monica about the story itself, I just noticed that through the miracle of Zoom machine, Nicole Shiro has joined us. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. My teleporter wasn't working and it finally did. So thank you all for letting me appear.
It's okay. You're here now. So Monica, tell us about the story. And also just and follow-up question, tell us, I'm assuming this is not a medium that you have written for before, and tell us about how it was writing for this medium.
Well, it was interesting that in that part of what I've written was the same. It was known territory, and then some of it was different. In other words, it had to be the same for multiple people. It couldn't be as improvised as what we experienced from the company in Montreal. There had to be elements that could be portable and be used for multiple audience members. And yet there were other things that had to be different and personalized for each individual audience member. So there was it was a warring faction, if you will, between those two sorts of things. It's like, okay, how do we do that? And then we decided that if Dr. D'Souza was our main character and he was the one interacting with each audience member, he or she, depending upon which actor was portraying Dr. D'Souza, and then we would have reports from field agents. And the technology from the future, unfortunately, doesn't always work as we want it to.
Don't I know it?
And so while we fully expected to be able to communicate with the field agents, we never could. It was like that Zoom call where someone's on mute. And so we could pre-record these elements from the field agents and have that element be the same for every audience member. So that part of the story never changed, but it was the interaction with the audience member, the personalization, if you will, that made the dynamic very interesting.
Well, tell us about the story itself. Can you give us just the nickel tour of the plot?
Sure. So it's something has gone horribly wrong with time mapping 100 years from now in 2120. And the way that they've looked at mapping the time stream, they find that a huge element of things going wrong is affecting the events of 2020. Don't we know it? Or aren't we feeling it?
Unaware. My life has not changed in a long time.
So the control group has sent field agents farther back in time to three other points in time where things, where the ripples have jumped stream, if you will. And so with those field reports that we're listening to and the interaction with the audience member in 2020 and getting their perspective, then we find a way to fix what it is that's broken and set time back on the path that it's supposed to be before everything in 100 years disintegrates.
That would be, that. I'm not sure, but that's probably not a good thing for the world if that happens.
Exactly.
So Ryan, tell me, if I am an audience member and I subscribe to this, am I speaking to the same person every week?
Yes. If you buy a ticket, your person will always be the same. So,
okay. Yep.
Across the week, you get that consistency. Your person may not be the same as Nicole's person.
Well, and that's the way it should be.
What are you saying, Lisa Chef?
I'm just telling you. So I'm making a presumption here. I actually don't know, but Brett and Jared, are you both performers in this piece?
Yes,
that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So Brett, tell us, are all the actors playing the same roles?
No. I mean, we are all playing our own roles, if that's what
you're asking. Okay, so, but you're each individually calling people. So if I'm, so we'll use the example of Nicole and I. So I may be speaking to character A, but Nicole might be speaking to character C.
Yes.
Which was Nicole's sorority name in college.
Oh. The way it works is.
So Brett, tell us about your character.
Okay, well, I'm in the pre-recorded parts, and I did the sound design for it. And in that, I'm playing three characters. I have three characters. One is an agent, one is a line cook, and another is a guy getting married. And each day, you hear me in a different form. And then there, of course, there are other actors. The live actors are not part of the part of the recorded bit. So it's been great doing it and stretching your legs that way.
Yeah, well, so in your role as line cook, can you tell me how well you do a brunoise?
Well, all I'm saying is when I'm making my food, I'm just making my food. It's just 1943, and we're just trying to put the food out. That's all I'm trying to do.
So you're not a French chef. You're just a cook.
That's right. I live in Dallas. My name's Hank. I mean, if that's not obvious enough.
Got it. And Jared, tell us about your role.
Yeah. So similar to Brett, I'm also in the pre-recorded portions of the event. So I play, in one scene, I play a police officer. And in another scene, I play an agent, also one of the agents, Agent Moore. And you know, similarly to Brad, it's been interesting to sort of stretch my legs in doing, you know, a totally different kind of acting, totally different kind of theater, although it does obviously resemble very much voiceover, which is something, you know, I have a background in. But it's tough because I'm like, I don't know how much I should or can really say about the events that I'm a part of, but you know, I will say it is, I don't know, when I first read the script and we started talking about it, I feel like there was, you know, some elements of like, I don't know, almost felt like Lost or, you know, the science fiction of like Doctor Who. It was very much like, you know, that sort of vibe. And I think similarly, you know, Ryan is our director, sort of like had some great notes as far as like how to like send up the language a little bit and like give it the life that it needs. for a completely different medium. You know, again, people are going to be listening to this over the phone with a mix of live action and pre-recorded stuff. So, you know, it was kind of, I'm sure, a challenge for Ryan, of course, to like direct us through Zoom for a play that's happening on the phone. So, you know, in you know, what characters could be archetypes and more caricature-ish, and what characters needed to have a little bit more heart to the proceedings. And so I think my two characters were on both sides of that spectrum. So, you know, as a police officer, sort of, you know, sending it up a little bit and being, you know, a bit more bumbling perhaps, but then as this agent, you know, having to sort of like bring the climax of the story a bit, you know, to life was a different sort of challenge. So, yeah, it was really fun.
What a great segue, because I was just going to ask Ryan about the directing of this piece. So, Ryan, we know you're directing it, but you often perform in Penfold pieces. Are you also performing, or are you just directing this piece?
Just directing, which is enough. This is a very large and sprawling project. So, that's also been very gratifying because it's so new. It's like a big puzzle that we have to figure out.
Right. So tell us about the process, because I'm assuming that because it's on the phone, at least the live components are always a single person talking to a single person. So I'm assuming there wasn't a lot of scene work except for maybe in pre-recorded stuff. So what was the process? How did that work for you?
Yeah, well, there's three, we can think of the play in three pieces, right? So when you buy your ticket, the first thing that happens is you get a package in the mail that explains what's going on, kind of sets up the story and includes some clues in sealed envelopes. So
are there cookies?
I don't know, it's a secret. It's a surprise.
I would want cookies.
All right, cookies from the future.
Okay, sorry, go on.
So Monica and I had a great time finding what those artifacts would be and what a package from the future might look like. And then for the live components, it's been a lot of one-on-one rehearsals because that's how those live actors are going to be doing their work. And we made sure that they weren't just rehearsing with me. We had a big group of beta testers for them to try things out with so that, you know, they could bump into all the questions that they might be asked and have to think on the fly. And then with the recorded scenes, it was kind of like rehearsing a Zoom play, which it's strange that now we know what that is, you know, but we all just got on Zoom and we read through the scene many times. And then everybody was really good. I mean, we had, the whole cast had experience with voiceover, and so everybody recorded their lines and with their, you know, nice microphones and sent their files to Brett, and Brett polished them up really nicely, added some sound effects so that we've got some really polished pre-recorded scenes.
Wonderful. Now, we don't have a whole bunch of time left, but in our limited time left, I want you to tell me how many performers are involved. It sounds like it could be quite a few. And also, you know, those of us who are aware of theater and a visual format, we know the technicians and the designers that may be involved. And we know Brett is doing a sound design, which could be pretty extensive in something like this, I would assume. But what other design people do you have?
Let's see. So as far as the cast goes, we have 8 members of the pre-recorded cast, and we've got a cast of 7 live actors. So I guess that's 15 altogether. And then as far as design goes, Monica, you know, did all of the story creation. Brett has done all of the sound creation, and I've done the few graphic design elements for the, you know, the package that people get in the mail. And that's really it.
All right, final question. So going back with Nicole and I having our separate experience with actor A and actor C, do we reach the same conclusion at the end of the show? Will Nicole and I will it have ended the same way for us? Or is that a spoiler?
What do you think, Monica? Is that a spoiler?
Oh, I think everyone, I hope, it is my hope that everyone will come away with their own individual victory. Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. Well, it sounds wonderful. Tell folks when and how they can do this.
All right, so the show kicks off on Monday and runs all the way through November 20th. Our website is www.penfoldtheater.org. It's got all of the information, the times and dates that you know, are available.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us in the Zoom machine. Nicole, you've been very quiet, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to have the last word.
Oh, you were answering all the questions. That's why I was like, oh, that's what I was wondering, like how. So I just find this fascinating, and I think it's another great way to still create conversation through a virtual world. And I love that theater's about conversation. So hats off to everyone.
Great. Well, Nicole, get us out of here. Get us back in the Zoom machine and back home.
I know. I'm going to travel with you this time and not solo. Is that cool?
Yep, that's
can
cool.
Can we leave the room? Is it? Can we finally leave? Is that okay?
It is. It's finally. It's finally good. It's
really the, it's need the, to go to the bathroom. I'm
it's
just
the
saying.
Off station on the air escape room. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
Yes.
Well, that is Penfold Theater and their show via telephone, The Control Group. It looks exciting. Can't wait to experience it myself. Well, we have done it, folks. You have wasted another hour with Lisa and Nicole. Oh, it's not a waste. You are enjoyed another hour. I need to remind you to vote. There is only one Dropbox for mail-in ballots, and that is on an airport. But you can get information at votetravis.com. There you can get the time frame of if it's busy or not. I went to Dove Springs and it was empty. No wait at all. And I also hear about the Millennium Complex for those of you on the east side.
Has been really good.
Have you voted yet?
No, it was really busy when I went twice now. So I just have to go in the morning and camp out and do my thing and bring my coffee and listen. Got my Jackie Benson to listen to. So
there you go. So catch us next week, folks, when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye.
Bye.